I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, saying, "Come and see."
Noise of Thunder Radio with Christian J. Pinto.
Okay, praise the Lord, you guys, and welcome. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we're going to talk about Vice President Mike Pence. We're going to talk about Islam, and we're going to talk about the salt of the earth. The salt of the earth, what it means to be the salt of the earth in a New Testament context. Now, this story about Mike Pence was sent to me initially by one of our listeners who was somewhat critical of the fact that I have been supportive of Vice President Pence up to now, mainly because generally the comments that I've heard from others and a friend of mine who knows people behind the scenes who know Mike Pence have testified that he is a sincere Christian man. And generally that has been my impression of him. I still don't have strong reasons for completely abandoning that view, just so we understand. However, there is a story now with Vice President Pence going to Indonesia and making certain statements in favor of Islam there in Indonesia. In fact, Jihad Watch has a story on Pence, who said, quote, "Indonesia's tradition of moderate Islam, frankly, is an inspiration to the world." That is a very disturbing statement when you consider all of the stories about the danger level for Christians there in Indonesia. There are millions of Christians who live there in that part of the world, and they are routinely persecuted by the Muslim population, which is a majority in that part of the world. Indonesia is the most populous Muslim country. I like the way Jihad Watch laid out the story, because they start by presenting at least a dozen, maybe 15 different stories about Sharia Islamic related atrocities that have been committed there. Sharia Indonesia, woman gets 100 lashes for sex outside marriage. Moderate Indonesia gives Messiah 5 years in prison for blasphemy. Indonesia's Aceh province lashes 339 people with cane in 2016 for violations of Sharia. Indonesia, Christmas ornament found bearing word Allah. Muslims outraged. Hotel shut down. These are just some of the stories presented on Jihad Watch. Indonesia, 150,000 Muslims demand arrest of Christian governor for blasphemy. That's an ongoing story there in Indonesia. The Christian governor was arrested, and he's on trial for blasphemy, supposedly blaspheming Islam. Indonesia, Muslims firebomb church, injure four children. Sharia in Indonesia, woman savagely beaten for standing too close to her boyfriend. Indonesia, Muslims attack 200 Christians at church, harass priest for reading Bible. Indonesia, Muslim with ISIS flag stabs priest, tries to blow up church during mass, police search for motive. Sharia, Indonesia, 60-year-old woman caned for selling alcohol. Indonesia, Muslims call for a closure of churches in Sharia province, and on and on. I'm just reading individual headlines. There are a number of others that Robert Spencer presents on his Jihad Watch website. Just many examples of how Indonesia is not really a moderate Islamic country. And so for Vice President Pence to have made this statement is somewhat strange. Now, I'm not entirely ready to throw Mike Pence under the bus, Vice President Pence. I'm not entirely ready to throw him under the bus on this issue, but it's unfortunate that the comments that he's made. Let's read a little bit more of the story. It says Vice President Mike Pence visited the Istiqlal Mosque in Jakarta today during the first visit by a Trump administration official to Indonesia. The largest mosque in Southeast Asia that can accommodate 200,000 worshipers is the same one President Obama and First Lady Michelle Obama visited during Obama's 2010 trip to the world's most populous Muslim country. And then it says, as is custom, Pence removed his shoes while wife Karen Pence and daughters Audrey and Charlotte also donned headscarves. And then they toured the place, etc. And then it says, Pence then joined and spoke at a closed-door interfaith dialogue with representatives from Christianity, Buddhism, Confucianism, Hinduism, and Islam. All right, so this is a typical interfaith dialogue. Now, you know, giving Vice President Pence the benefit of the doubt, was this simply a political gathering? Because politically speaking, political leaders have to interact with and get along with other leaders who are not necessarily Christians. That much I think we can all understand. Where I have a problem with it, where I think they cross the line, unfortunately, is they will end up compromising on theological issues during these interfaith dialogues to the point where they're saying, well, we generally worship the same God, or words to that effect. It's just unfortunate that we have Christian leaders in politics in our country who will end up doing things like that. And if that's what they really believe, then obviously they don't truly believe or understand the gospel of Jesus Christ. What I always admired about the late Dr. Ian Paisley was he would not do that. He was a political leader, a very strong political leader, and he was a God-fearing, Bible-believing Christian man who would not compromise the gospel. He would not have anything to do with this ecumenical nonsense. And that doesn't mean he didn't meet politically with people who held to other views theologically. Of course, when you're a politician, you're going to have to meet with these people. However, Pence said this. He said, quote, as the second and third largest democracies in the world, our two countries share many common values, including freedom, the rule of law, human rights, and religious diversity, he said. That's a very strange comment because apparently it's simply not true. Then Pence said the United States is proud to partner with Indonesia to promote and protect these values, the birthright of all people. Now, that's just a strange statement right there. The birthright of all people. So he goes on to say, you know, religious diversity, by which, I mean, the context of it is you've got Christianity, Islam, Buddhism, etc. This is the big lie that's going on in the Western world and throughout the world right now. This is the big lie that the Jesuits and the Vatican set forth with Vatican Council II. The idea that this supposed religious diversity is a right that God has given. It's in reality, it's not really a right that God has given. God has not given people the right to worship idols and false gods. That's not a right God has given anyone. See, this is why I believe if our country is going to be recovered, if original American freedom will ever be restored, if it's God's will that it be restored, we've got to go back and reclaim the original understanding of toleration. Toleration originally was from Christianity to the non-Christian groups coming into a Christian country, with a clear understanding that Christians believe Christianity is the only true religion. The other beliefs are variant forms of idolatry. They are imposters. They're not equal to Christianity. However, we extend tolerance to them, provided they're not hostile or subversive. You realize, brethren, that was the original view of the people who founded and built America all the way through the American Revolution and up through the late 19th century. They didn't generally go around. Maybe there were some who did, but generally, even judges and lawyers and leaders didn't go around saying that Christianity was equal to all these pagan religions. They didn't say things like that. because that wasn't the view. It was always seen that the other beliefs are imposters, they're false religions, they're not equal to Christianity. Not at all. And unfortunately, and you know, to a certain extent, wanting to give some benefit of the doubt to Vice President Pence, it may be, and I've thought about this, I've thought about that perhaps the reason he's making these kind of statements is because he wants to maintain a peaceable relation with Indonesia so that it will benefit the Christians that live in that part of the world. That could be the case. I mean, giving him the benefit of the doubt, I would hope that it would be something like that. Because here's the thing. Whenever the United States does something hostile to the Muslim world, quite often the Muslims in different countries will rise up and go and attack the Christians that live down the road. That's often what they do. And it may be, I'm saying, I don't agree with this interfaith ecumenical dialogue, brethren. However, I don't know how much Vice President Pence is familiar with discernment ministry issues. That I don't know. This could be an issue of discernment. You know, I think in the Old Testament, Jehoshaphat, go study King Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat was a godly, righteous, God-fearing man, and he did what was right. But on several occasions, he made alliances, like he makes an alliance with King Ahab, and that's when afterward God sends a prophet to confront him, and he says, "Why do you love those who hate the Lord? Shouldst thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord?" he says. So Jehoshaphat was not himself necessarily an evil man in the sense that he's going to do things that are evil and wicked and this kind of thing. His failing, however, he failed to exercise proper discernment. He joins in a union, an alliance with King Ahab, who he should have shunned. So could that be the kind of case that we're looking at here with Vice President Pence and ultimately the Trump administration? But of course, when you read this article on Jihad Watch and you see the many examples in Indonesia of Islamic extremism and nothing that could be called, I mean, if this is moderate Islam, you end up seeing why so many different people, so many different researchers say there's really no such thing as moderate Islam. Islam is Islam. Some of the Muslims are more extreme than others, but Islam on paper, in the Quran, in the Hadith, it is an extreme, violent, really criminal belief system. Once you understand it, from a biblical perspective, it is nothing but criminal from top to bottom. And that's how it should be seen by the Western world. It's why in our country, if we judged Islam according to its official teachings, it would be forbidden from our schools, our universities. We would not allow Muslims to hold political offices, etc., because they have a criminal belief system. It's criminal, the things that they believe they have the right to do under Sharia. All right, so we are coming up on a break here. Let's look at the... Well, Pence noted that in this article, back in this article, it says, quote, Pence noted that the largest majority Muslim country, Indonesia's tradition of moderate Islam, frankly, is an inspiration to the world. That's what he said. He went on to say, quote, in your nation, as in mine, religion unifies, it doesn't divide. It gives us hope for a brighter future, and we are all grateful for the great inspiration that Indonesia provides for the world. The vice president added, quote, rest assured, under President Trump, the United States welcomes all who share our values and strive for that brighter future. It seems like, I guess we're just going to have to wait and see where the Trump administration goes with this. And how much of this is simply politically correct ecumenist speak that all the politicians seem to rattle off. and how much of it is actually going to govern American policy going forward. It should be interesting to see what's going to happen. All right, brethren, let's go to our commercial break. We will talk more when we come back right after this.
Adullam Films presents an exciting new documentary, Bridge to Babylon, part three in an award-winning series on the untold history of the Bible. Dr. Jack Moorman calls it a masterful presentation of what is the single most important issue facing Christians today, the defense of the Bible as the Word of God. Why was the Bible changed in 1881? Why have so many churches abandoned biblical inerrancy? And what direction are scholars taking the Scriptures today? Learn the truth in Bridge to Babylon, the sequel to A Lamp in the Dark and Tares Among the Wheat. Bridge to Babylon is now available at noiseofthunderradio.com. That's noiseofthunderradio.com.
Hello, I'm Brandon House. In April of 2013, I found a Mountain House distributor and ordered some freeze-dried food for my family because I had become concerned about what was happening in America. Our lack of national security, the threat to our power grid. I've been a customer of Mountain House through one of their distributors. But now, Worldview Weekend, as of October 25th, 2016, has been approved to be a distributor for Mountain House. Now look, the key word here is balance. We don't put our hope in horses and chariots. We don't put our security in food and gold and silver. But it is important to be diversified and to be prepared. And if you're interested, you can now go into the bookstore at worldviewweekend.com/bookstore and check out some of the freeze-dried food that you can order. I think people ought to have a little bit put aside, as I've done since April of 2013, in case of an emergency. You get free shipping and handling, and you're supporting the general operating budget of Worldview Weekend. Just simply visit our bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore.
Okay, we are back. Praise the Lord, you guys. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we've been talking about really Mike Pence, the ecumenical movement, and recent statements that were made by Vice President Pence when he went to Indonesia and met with the Muslim leadership there. And there seemed to be a sort of ecumenical dialogue. Now, I did not see, and at least I haven't seen from the reports that I've been sent and that I've looked into, I haven't seen Mike Pence make any comment to the effect that, you know, where he said to the Muslims, we're all worshiping the same God. This was an issue with George W. Bush. When Bush was president, there he had an interview with Charlie Gibson in which he was directly asked if he thought both Muslims and Christians go to heaven. And he said he believed that and that he believed that there were many routes to finding God within that context. So with George W. Bush, there was no question that he believed the ecumenical lie, at least according to that interview. And of course, he was a member of the Skull and Bones Society. And all of these groups, the Skull and Bones, the Freemasons, the Rosicrucians, many of them believe the many routes to finding God and that all religions are one and the same. So where does all this lead us? I mean, see, this is the problem, brethren, with the entire Western world. This is what Christianity has got to wake up and recognize, that this many paths to God deception, this is what has opened the door to the systematic subversion of America, of Great Britain, of the countries of Western Europe. This is what allowed them to open the doors to Islam and bring in millions and millions of Muslims saying, well, they believe the same thing that we do. It didn't just happen. It happened because of a worldview, because of a philosophy, because of a view of God and the values that come from the fear of God. And so this lie that, well, everybody pretty much believes the same thing. This is This is the big lie that's been perpetrated for about 50, 60 years in the Western world since the end of World War II. That everybody pretty much believes the same thing. All the religions pretty much believe the same thing. That's a general view that's been given out. And it's simply not true. It's simply not true. And the fact that Christians with the Bible and the Word of God and the Gospel and the Law of God have transformed many parts of the world by preaching the Gospel, by bringing Christianity and the Holy Scripture to different parts of the earth, and that it's the power of God and the Holy Scripture that has transformed whole countries, towns, villages, people, etc. That it's not just some vague, nebulous idea of so-called goodness from a secular humanist perspective. That hasn't changed the world for good. What's changed the world for good is Christianity. Now, this, I believe, is at the heart of the problem, this ecumenical argument. The ecumenical worldview. This is what's getting America into trouble. It's what's getting the entire Western world into trouble. It's why the Western world is continually compelled to take in all of these migrants and immigrants and so on, is because supposedly we all believe the same thing. And if you reject them, you're only doing it because you're a racist and a bigot. You're not doing it because they have a different belief system, because that's not possible. Everybody believes the same thing. And oh, Christianity was just as bad as Islam, supposedly. See, all of these false arguments. This is what happens when history is altered and denied. Real history is denied, and a false history has been embraced in our schools, our colleges, our universities, and in the mainstream media. A false history is promoted. The fact that Islam has been the aggressor throughout history, and the fact that Islam openly denies that Jesus is the Son of God, which, I mean, really, that ought to be a central issue being talked about on American television every day. And the fact that Muslims are persecuting Christians because Christians believe Jesus is the Son of God, and the Muslims reject that teaching. That's why they're cutting their heads off. That's why they're killing them. And what that would do is that would put the gospel front and center where it belongs. And I hope that Mike Pence, Vice President Pence, will be inspired at some point to really stand up for the gospel toward Islam. I hope and pray he'll do that. Now, here's something I want to go over, talking about the salt of the earth. Matthew chapter 5. Well, let's go to verse 10, where Jesus says, this is the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says in verse 10, "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." Then in verse 13, Jesus says, "Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men." Good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden under foot of men. Think about that, brethren. Now, why are people persecuted in the preceding verses? For righteousness' sake. For standing up for the righteousness of God, for standing up for the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And for that, they'll be persecuted. They're going to be hated. People are going to be angry at them. But what happened when the reformers stood up for the righteousness of God? Yes, they were persecuted. They were hated. But they turned the world upside down by the power of the Word of God. And ultimately, God blessed their efforts mightily. But if the salt loses its savor, what happens? It's good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden under foot of men. This is talking about an ancient practice in the ancient world where when salt would lose that salty characteristic, the people would take it and they would throw it. I've heard different versions of this. I heard a pastor preach on this talked about how in ancient Rome they would take it and cast it out on the roads and use it to kill the grass that would come up between the stones, the cobblestones on the Roman roads. And so, of course, it was thrown out on the road, and then people walking up and down the road would trample on the salt. And so Jesus says it's good for nothing but to be trodden underfoot of men. You think about what happened to God's people in the Old Testament. The children of Israel, whenever they would turn away from God and they would start worshiping idols, following false gods, and then rebelling and disobeying God, what happened? They were ultimately given over to the hands of their enemies, and they were literally trodden underfoot. They were trampled by their enemies. And it's one thing to be persecuted for righteousness' sake. Jesus says we should rejoice in that and be exceedingly glad. But we don't want to suffer because we refuse to stand up for what is right. Because we refuse to stand up for the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. I can't help but wonder if this is a picture, a warning, of what's happening in Western Europe and what could be happening in our country in the years to come. If Christians in our country, if we don't shake ourselves out of the sleep or the apathy, whatever it is, and begin to stand up for the righteousness of God and for the preaching of the gospel, and make the gospel a priority in our country, as our forefathers did, and quit believing this lie that says that Christianity is somehow or other equal to the pagan beliefs of the world. The Bible says very clearly that's not the case. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me." All right, brethren, that's going to do it for us today. That is our show. We'll stop it there. But we will be back next time as the Lord leads us. Until then, God bless you guys. I'm Chris Pinto, and you've been listening to Noise of Thunder Radio.